Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Masjid Darussalam, Toronto, Canada. Thursday after 24th, Tarawih, 1st of August 2013. Marriage is the sunnah of Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Marriage is better than nafil salah. Parents are the best friends. How Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam dealt with his wives. The bayan is presented by Hazrat Malana Subhan Dalvi Shahib Damat Barakatuhu.
Alhamdulillah, alladhi anzala Quran in Arabiya. وهدانا صراطا سويا والصلاة والسلام على محمد الذي بعث رسولا نبيا وعلى آله وصحبه الذين سلكوا طريقا مرضيا أما بعد. My respected elders, dearest brothers, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Today in صلاة التراويح, a theme which could be found in the surahs that were recited so very beautifully by our ulama and hafaz. Many of the surahs had a theme with regards to marriage and divorce. And whilst we are here, I thought it would be of a very great and important note that I speak with regards to marriage to some degree. As this is a part in our lives where for those who are married it's a big part, and for those who aren't married it's soon going to be a big part, inshallah. Many people listen really loudly, inshallah, soon. And it's a good thing. This is something which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed. And this is something which all the Anbiya alayhimu salatu wasalam, from the beginning of Adam alayhi salatu wasalam to the time of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasalam, they all fulfilled except for Yahya alayhi salatu wasalam and Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. And Isa alayhi salatu wasalam will come back and he will get married, which leaves only Yahya alayhi salatu wasalam, who did not get married. And this is one of those types of ibadat which has been here in the world and it will even be in the hereafter. One of two ibadats. One is bringing iman on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is in this world and it will also be in the hereafter. And with regards to marriage, it is something that is also in this world, and those people who are married will also retain those wives in the hereafter as well. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam both have highlighted the virtue of marriage. In fact, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, "An-nikahu min sunnati," that marriage is from amongst my sunnat. "Faman raghiba an sunnati falaysa minni," and whomsoever turns away from my sunnat, then he is not from amongst me. That this person doesn't, he's not a part of my nation, he's not a part of the things that I want for my ummah. Because he's turned his way, he's turned his face and he's turned his wishes and desires away from the sunnah. Likewise, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Lam tara lil mutahabbayni mithla an-nikah," that you will not see for two people who love each other, who have feelings for each other, like nikah. That this nikah is a thing which solidifies it even more. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, quite articulately, he said in the Quran, وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ أَنْ خَلَقَ لَكُمْ مِنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ أَزْوَاجًا لِتَسْكُنُوا إِلَيْهَا وَجَعَلَ بَيْنَكُمْ مَوَدَّةً وَرَحْمَةً, that it is from amongst his signs that he has created for you partners from amongst yourselves so that you may live in peace and tranquility with them. Now, Mufti Muhammad Shafi'i rahimahullah mentions under the tafsir of this ayat that the job of marriage is لِتَسْكُنُوا إِلَيْهَا, that the married couple find peace and contentment in each other. Now that person who's always parishan, he goes to work, he's got worries on his mind, etc., etc., he comes home and he's at peace and he's happy in his household. And many are those who are unfortunately unmarried and they can't get a good suitable partner. Sometimes there are such people who even say that, you know, I don't want to get married. This is not something that we should condone. Marriage is a good thing, it's a good faculty. If you can get married, you should get married. This will be a protection for you. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in one hadith, "Ya ma'ashara al-shabab," من استطاع منكم الباءة فليتزوج. That old group of young men, now look who he was talking to. Old group of young men. من استطاع منكم الباءة فليتزوج. Whomever from amongst you has the capacity that he can fulfill the right of the wife, that he can fulfill her expenses, and he has the capacity that he can get married, then he should get married. فَإِنَّهُ أَغَضُّ لِلْبَصَرِ. Because this is a means of him lowering his gaze. وَأَحْسَنُ لِلْفَرَجِ. And it is a means of him protecting his private parts. وَمَنْ لَمْ يَسْتَطِي فَعَلَيْهِ بِالصَّوْمِ. And whomsoever does not have the capacity that he can get married, then this month is the best month because he should start fasting. فَإِنَّهُ لَهُ وِجَاءٌ. Because indeed this fasting for him is a shield which will prevent him from committing immoral acts. Just like a shield prevents damage from coming in, this shield will stop him from succumbing to his desires, succumbing to his lower and carnal desires. So this whole discussion with regards to marriage is something which is a very good discussion. Because it is needed. It is needed firstly with regards to those who are unmarried and who want to get married. And it is also with regards to those who are married, how they should be living their life in accordance to the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how they should be living their life in accordance to this deen. And similarly, every one of us should have this niyyah and this intention in our lives, that if we are not married, then we will try and fulfill this marriage, this sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And those of us who are married, then we should be thinking to ourselves that I will try my best to fulfill the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam inside marriage, in that my characteristics and the things that I do with my spouse, the way I conduct myself in the household, all of these things are in accordance to the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And you know, when a person does get married, according to some ulama, that marriage, according to the Hanafi school of thought, that getting married is even better than performing the nafil salah. Because in getting married, then a person is protecting himself. And sometimes when a person, for example, when a person constantly is doing nafil salah, nafil salah, nafil salah, sometimes that's not enough to break his desire. Sometimes he really, really needs to get married. But when he's married and he's calm and he's cool, then eventually he'll start praying that nafil as well. I remember my respected Ustad, Hazrat Mawlana Yusuf Qutisab, who taught me Sahih al-Bukhari. He related the story of two young men. Both of them had an ambition in life to become friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, waliullah. This was their core aim. And they both used to pray and fast and read tahajjud and do zikr and everything. And years went by in their life, years went by in their life until one of them finally said, you know, enough is enough. I'm going to get married now. I can't hack this anymore. I need to get married. So the other one said to him that, are you going to really leave this ibadah and get married and this and this and this? Aren't you not going to look for to be become a wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So he says, oh no, I've reached the limit, I need to get married. And so he gets married. And this one goes on with his married life, and this one goes on with his life of ibadah, looking for asceticism and trying to reach that high pinnacle of worship and become a wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. 6 years go by, and one day they bump into each other. And this man says to his old friend, how are you? When they're meeting each other and they're dillagi speaking to each other, how has everything gone in the last 6 years? And they say, well, the one who got married said, well, how about you come to my house for a dawat and we can eat and we can talk some more. And they were eating, and they agreed and they came to the dawat. Now whilst they were eating, the married man now says to his old friend that, you know, in 6 years, what have you been doing? Since I got married, what have you been doing? And the man says, the one who has been trying to become a waliullah, I have been fasting profusely, I have been reading my salah in abundance, I have been performing tahajjud, I have been busy in my dhikr and fikr, I have been in solitude, I have been doing this, I have been doing that, I have been doing this. So this married man says, Allahu Akbar, you know, you must have become a waliullah by now. You must have been a person who's really, you know, reached a very high status in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I tell you what, just like the walis of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are able to perform some type of karama, some type of ability. You see this glass of water over there. Bring it to me without touching it. Like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala helps those who are His walis, then He will bring this water to you without you having to even need to get up. So if you are a wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, bring it across. So he says, oh, I can't do that. I haven't reached that state yet. I'm still trying. even though 6 years have gone by. So his friend says to him, this married man, he says, look, I got married and I am able to perform this special feat and I am able to do this. So he says, huh? How are you able to do this? I've been doing so much worship in the last few years and how can you do this? You're a married man, you're so busy with your wife. And the married man says, I'll show you. And he says, oh my son, come over here and take my glass and bring it to me. So getting married is a good thing. Because these children become a means of rahmah and a means of mercy within the house. And it's a source of happiness and joy for everyone who is there. Now, speaking on more of a serious note. Sometimes young guys want to get married and they can't. Because maybe there is problem. Maybe the father says, first you have to become a doctor, first you have to become an accountant, first you have to become a lawyer, first you have to do this, then you have to do that. And maybe when you're 25, 26 and you're stable and your bank balance is high and you've got BMW in the garage, then you can get married. And that bichara is pulling his hair out, smacking it on the wall, and when am I going to get married, when am I going to get married? The reality is that we have to be very, very, very sensitive to this area of marriage. And we have to be very, very gentle with regards to our young men. Because many, if you don't get them married early, and this is also slowly, slowly happening in our young girls as well, if you don't get them married off when it is time for them to get married off, you are very, very fortunate if they don't go off into haram relationships. And this is a reality. Take it from a person who's gone to college and university as well. That many a time I've seen in my time in university that a young boy wants to get married. He says to his parents, look, I want to get married. I'll take a job, however little money I get. I'm not looking to get a woman who will want to shop all the time, but I am a pious young man. I want to preserve my chastity and I want to get married. But the parents say ridiculous excuses for sometimes that first you have to become a doctor. Maybe I have one friend in the UK. I feel really, really sorry for him. He's now 24 and he wants to get married, but his parents are saying no to him. What reason are they saying? He's got his bank balance ready. He can get married. There's nothing which is stopping him. But he's got 4 or 5 elder brothers and none of them are married yet. And until they don't get married, he's not allowed to get married. So now he's saying to his brothers, look, I will find you all wives. Just get married so I can get married. So these are the problems which come in our society. We have mixed a lot of our culture up with our deen. And look, you know, culture is not a bad thing. Culture is not about a bad thing at all. We are Muslim, and we also, some of us are Canadian, some of us are Pakistani, some of us are Indian, some of us are from Afghanistan. I'm from UK myself. And the culture that we live in, sometimes, you know, that this culture is a good thing. You pick up a lot from your culture, the libas that we wear, our salwar kameez. This is not necessarily a bad thing. You know, the foods that we eat, biryani. When I went to Egypt, I realized the qadr of biryani. All the food there was very, very bland. And for 2 months, my face became incredibly pale. Then one day, one person from my family came. And I said to them, when you come, bring some masala. So that when I cook my chicken, I can marinate it with all these masalas. So they came. Then I made my chicken tikka, etc. and I ate it. And this jaan came back into me. And this life. And I sat back into my lesson with my ustaz, Sheikh Abdul Aziz. And he says to me, and he's asking me all these questions, and I'm giving him answer one by one, pat, pat, pat. He says to me, what's happened today? I said, akaltu ta'am al-hindi. I've eaten Indian food today. And he goes, naam, I know. I can see it on your face. And just to show you how much this meant, this Indian food, before I left Egypt, he took all my masalas. He goes, I don't want any gift, I don't want any itar, I don't want anything. He said, you see that bag there with all this masala, just give me the whole masala. But khair, back to the topic at hand, which is with regards to our youngsters. So sometimes what happens is that our youngsters have this culture in their lives which is preventing them from following a sunnah. And the sunnah is, look, our deen is the most important thing to us. Our culture is important as well, because this is also part of our identity. And not for a second am I saying to you, okay, ditch your culture. But what I'm saying is prioritize your deen. That your deen is the first thing. This is the core of all of our matters. It's our deen. And after our deen, then you know your culture and whatever your own likes are. If deen has made it permissible for you to do that, then it's fine. But with regards to our deen, our youngsters should be getting married off early. And it doesn't require them sometimes to have the biggest balances, the biggest this, you know, their financial state extremely stable. But if they've come to you and they've expressed their wish, now sometimes young boys can't go to their parents, they can go to their mum, and they regularly go to their mum and they say, Ami Jan, I want to get married, I want to get married. But they're scared to go to the father. Because they know if they say, Abu Jan, I want to get shadi done, nikal yahan se na like khabis, and he'll get a kick. Bara ya nikah karne wala. This is how it is. And this is a reality. But the basis of the matter is that what do you want him to do then? Do you want him to go commit zina, which is a high possibility, which is a high chance? There are people who sometimes with grown beards, who are pious, who are practiced, who have then ended up using services in brothels and prostitution because they have not been able to get a suitable partner or gotten into relationships with girls, sometimes Muslim and other times non-Muslims as well. And this is only because they had a desire to fulfill. Then when the father finds out that this is what has been going and his izzah goes down the drain, then he realizes that he should have done something. So this is my humble request to our elders, that if the child has expressed his wish, and brothers who are young, you have to help me out in this regard as well when you want to get married. That don't go to your parents when you have literally nothing, you know, of any virtue in your life that you can perhaps get a job by. Maybe if you know you're a broad, big guy and you can lift, you know, cargo up here and there and you're getting a good pay, you know, a decent pay. We're not asking you for the best pay job. But you've got something. You've got something that you can expand upon. Then maybe you can go to your parents and you can express this wish of yours. But don't go there when you're sleeping till 1 PM in the afternoon. You've not done a single day's work. As soon as you wake up, it's PlayStation. And you then go to your parents and then, you know, once your dad's come home from work, he's done half a day's work and you're still asleep in the bed. And then you wake up and you say to Abu Jan, oh, I want to get married. You deserve the slap that you get in your face then. So you have to help yourself in this regard as well. That both the parents and the children understand. Because your parents aren't your enemies. This is another thing. Many youngsters feel that their parents are their enemies. I will tell you something categorically today. That your parents are your bestest friends in your entire life. You will never find anyone, the whole world might turn against you. The whole world might turn against you. Your friends, everyone. But the most zulm you can do upon your parents and they still won't turn away from you. Even if they said to you one day, I don't want to speak to you again, I don't want to speak to you again. And then one day you realize you were wrong and you said sorry. And it doesn't matter how much zulm you've done to them in the past, but you came back and you said sorry. They would accept you. Because they were the ones who've been cleaning your nappies. They were the ones who were playing. You know when we see these little children, and we just can't resist, you know, hugging them and kissing them. And you know, they're so adorable and so cute. This is what they've literally seen you grow up to become young men and women. So your parents aren't your enemies. They just want what's best for you. But sometimes that what's best for you gets twisted with culture and mixed around with other feelings. Sometimes the parents are speaking to other parents and they're looking at other families. What you have to do is look at your own family, look at your children. Do they need to get married? Are they going to commit sin? Because I'm telling you, you know, in university, it is extremely hard for young Muslim men and women now, and we will expand upon this tomorrow. I'm just highlighting this in the chapter and in the gateway of marriage as we are talking about today. It is very hard for Muslims to preserve themselves in university when you are in an environment when you are regularly seeing women and you are regularly seeing girls and the girls are regularly seeing guys. And it's very, very difficult because insan, a boy feels lonely and a girl also feels lonely. When, you know, there's a limit to the friendship a boy can have with another boy. After that, he needs the companionship of a woman. If a boy feels upset or sad, he can go to his friend and his friend will say, don't worry, and he'll maybe give him a pat on the back. Maybe he'll put his arm and hug him. But after that, karibi matana. This is how it is. But with regards to when a man, once that limit has been reached, that's when he needs the companionship of a girl. And many a times a guy's in university, he's got his dissertations and he's got his essays to complete and he's stressed. Sometimes he can't get the help from a guy. Sometimes he's stressed. He needs to speak to someone. He'll speak to a girl. And sometimes between guy and girl there's chemistry. The guy has this charm and the girl has softness. Men normally have this charm. They can go into a room and they can throw a few smiles and ha 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 ha, he 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 he. And they charm the light out of people. And sometimes that girls have the softness that they, you know, they listen and they, ah, okay, no problem. And that boy becomes an ashik immediately. And sooner or later they're speaking, it goes on online onto Facebook. Well, many years ago it used to be MSN. Now it's probably Facebook, etc. Emails are passed. Then there's text messaging. Then there's phones. You know there's something wrong with your son when every time you're just about to pick his phone up, he jumps on it like a tiger. And he says, don't come near my phone. Don't pick up my phone. And he can't leave his house without having his phone because he has some incriminating evidence in there. That somebody's been texting him. I can't get to sleep tonight. I'm thinking about you too much. So these type of things, it happens. We're laughing about it. But the reason why we're laughing about it is because it happens. And we can't keep brushing this under the carpet. Otherwise, what will happen is we'll have a society where the youngsters are keeping secrets from the elders. And when youngsters keep secrets from their parents, this is one of the greatest problems in society. When the youngster can't even go back to his mum and his dad, the two people closest in his life, because he fears rebuke, reprimand, and shouting from his parents. And he feels that if I go to my parents, they won't be able to understand me. So the parents have to be understanding in this regard. And surviving university, honestly, you know, we were just speaking about Karamatul Awliya, that the miracles and the super, extra phenomenon of the Awliyaullah, the things that they would perform. I think to myself, you know, when I see youngsters, the people who come out of university and they're still chaste, and they haven't gotten into illicit relationships, they haven't had girlfriends or boyfriends, etc. I think to myself that these children then are the greatest walis of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in our time. Waqi. Because it's such a dire situation. You know, it's such a dire situation. And I can't even begin to expand upon it and speak about it that much. Many people are of the regard, okay, once university is finished, then we'll get them married. But rather what happens is that until university is not finished, then this thing keeps on preying on the mind of those people. So many times I've been in university. I was once in an elevator and I had two young Muslim boys in front of me. One was saying, man, I wish I could get married. And the other one was like, just tell your mom. And she says, oh, I told her. She says, you know, don't worry about it. Go away, do your studies. And this is what the thought pattern is in a young man. He'll think about marriage regularly. I can tell you that in the Islamic societies groups that you have, I think maybe over here you have MSAs in your university and in your colleges and high schools, etc. The number one big topic that all the guys are talking about is, oh, what's your idea of a perfect wife? What's your idea of a perfect wife? And on the other side, what's your idea of a perfect husband? And many a times what happens is that those girls who are practicing on the sister's side see guys who are practicing on the brother's side, and slowly, slowly they get into secret relationship away from the eyes of people. And they are, you know, they are good people. They can get married. It doesn't mean that they are bad people. It means that they are good people, but they just can't find that asbab to get married. And therefore, we must help our youngsters in this regard. And not constantly say no, 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 no to them. But rather look for every way and possible. Because afterwards, when they do commit something wrong, then it will be cutting off on our own nose. This is why Rasulullah sallallahu, this is why the books of fiqh mention, النِّكَاحُ sunnatun, that nikah is sunnat. وَعِنْدَ التَّوْقَانِ وَاجِبٌ. And when that desire barakne lagti hai, and a person really needs to get married, then it is wajib upon that person to get married. And if he doesn't get, and if he tells his parents and he's got the means that he should get married, he tells his parents that I want to get married, and they say no to him, and then he ends up doing something wrong, then that sin is on the father's head and the parents' head, because they did not get him married off. So this is what we have to realize. But as I mentioned on the other side, that you guys, you also have to realize that you have to do something. You have to work hard for it. You know, you need to show your parents that you are capable. Unfortunately, the reason why parents say no to their children is because they don't show that they have characteristics of responsibility. If you can show your parents that you are a responsible young man, that you can, you know, do something responsible with your life, that you can take care of a house by yourself, you can take care of people by yourself, you can go and do the shopping, you are a person who helps around the house, then there's no reason for someone to say no to you. And therefore, this is the humble appeal to our elders and also to our youngsters. Now that's that out of the way. Now with regards to inside marriage. We will keep it very mukhtasar. We won't talk too long, because talking too long, sometimes people get tired and they start drifting off. I even start drifting off halfway through my bayan sometimes. So what happens with regards to those who are married inside marriage? You must look to uphold the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We've just spoken about people outside marriage upholding the sunnah. Inside, people have to uphold sunnah as well. And what is the sunnah that the person is doing inside the marriage? Is that he brings the akhlaq of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam within his life. Hazrat Mawlana Ashraf Ali Thanvi rahimahullah mentions that if a person was to love his wife the way Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would love his wife, then the people would say that this man has become crazy. That Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would show such affection, such care, such love to his wives, that they would feel that they were the most beloved things to him in the entire earth. When Aisha radiallahu anha would take a sip from a glass of water, Rasulullah, look at the characteristics of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He enjoyed just making the days of people. He just enjoyed, you know, making people happy as they can be. He would take this glass of water whilst he knows that Aisha radiallahu anha is looking at what he's doing, and he would place his lips on the exact, he would turn that glass around and he would place his lips on the exact same thing in the exact same place. And how do we know that this was beloved thing to Aisha radiallahu anha? Because she mentions it as the narrator of the hadith that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did this to me. A person who has had a relationship with another person will be able to say that that person is so special, that that person did this and that person did this for me and this for me. So Aisha radiallahu anha mentions this, that when she would eat from a piece of meat, then he would take that meat and he would bite from it in the same place. And they would share the miswak that they are using, the toothbrushes that they are using. This is how, and this was up to the passing away of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that he would do this. Sometimes he would even race with his wives. Sometimes he would even run, this shows the informal relationship that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would have. Rasulullah was once walking with the Sahaba radiallahu anhu. And Aisha radiallahu anha was there as well. So he said to the Sahaba radiallahu anhu, "You go ahead, I want to walk with my wife." And the Sahaba radiallahu anhu went away. Then he turned to Aisha radiallahu anha and he said to Aisha radiallahu anhu, "Do you want to race with me?" He said, "Race, ya Rasulullah?" He said, "Yes." He said, "Okay, let's have a race." And they had a race. And Aisha radiallahu anha won that race with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And as women are, shame, I won, etc., etc. A few months later, down the line, after a certain period of time, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam again. This shows that it wasn't something that was just a one-off. But Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam liked to have this playful nature with his spouse. And he says to her, "Do you want another race?" And at this time, Aisha radiallahu anha, her body had developed more, and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had raced with her, and he won this time. And he turns to her and he says that this is my revenge for that day. That he didn't forget it either. And a person doesn't forget those things which are beloved to the hearts of a person. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam remembered that, and this is why he brought his playful nature into the future as well. Once Aisha radiallahu anha and Hafsa radiallahu anha go on an expedition with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now both are his wives. Don't worry, we won't get into the masala of two wives or three wives or four wives. I understand the women at home are listening. I have family listening back home as well. They won't let me cross the border. So with regards to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, on this expedition, he has Hafsa on one side and he has Aisha radiallahu anhuma on the other side. And what happens is that he would go and visit both of them. But at night time, he would go more to Aisha radiallahu anha. Now, Hafsa recognizes this. And she goes to Aisha radiallahu anha. She says, "Look, you know, we are going on this journey with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and you know, I'm on this side and you are on that side, and I see so much scenery which is so beautiful on that side, and you've got new scenery on that side which I haven't seen. How about we switch our the caravans in which we are staying, and you go into that one and I go into this one?" And Aisha radiallahu anha, she doesn't realize what's happening. She thinks, "Okay, you know, this is really good." And she goes into that one and she goes into this one. Now at the time when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam is retiring to bed, he goes to the caravan in which he thinks Aisha radiallahu anha is in. And Hafsa radiallahu anha is in there instead. And now she's still his wife. He can't exactly say, oops, I've made a mistake. I need to go to the other one. Because that's the wife as well. So she has the haqq as well. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stays there. Meanwhile, Aisha radiallahu anha has clocked onto what's happening. And she's going into this state where she can't stand being away from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And she's becoming extremely agitated, and she puts her foot into the grass, and she says, "Oh Allah, let a scorpion bite me. I can't take this pain about being away from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam." So this is the love that they would have. Even Zubayr radiallahu anhu, you know, him and his wife went to perform Hajj, and his wife came out of, now when a person is in the state of ihram and he's going towards Makkah. Now when he's in ihram, he can't have this intimacy with his wife. He can't kiss her and have this intimacy and this affection. They can't show affection to one another. So what happens is that Asma radiallahu anha, she finishes her ihram. And she comes out and she's in the state where now she can be intimate. But Zubayr radiallahu anhu is still in the form that he's in ihram. So she beautifies herself up really, really nicely, and she goes, sits next to her husband. And her husband saying, "Move away from me, move away from me. I can't do anything. I can't. So why are you tempting me like this?" So she would really playfully say to him, "Atakhsha an athiba alayk? Do you fear that I will jump upon you or I will eat you or something? Why are you running away from me?" So this is how the Sahaba radiallahu anhu would have love for their wives. Even Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, he went 70 miles out from Medina and he found out that his wife was ill. So he trekked all the way back to Medina. He even delayed his salah, which he was in as a safar. And then he went back and he met his wife and he made sure everything is okay. So these are some characteristics that we see. You know, there's a really great misconception today that Muslim men are barbaric. And Muslim men, you know, they beat their wives and they have to walk 10 paces behind them when they walk. And they have to pick up the shopping and the Muslim man cart, you know, he's walking in front. So these are misconceptions that have been placed against us. Really, these are misconceptions which have been placed against us. If a person was to perform and conduct himself along with his spouse, along with his partner, and they were both in the relationship, and remember, it takes, you know, two to tangle. A person who clubs stones, the sound comes by two hands. You need help from both sides. That the woman's side, she's also a pious person as well. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, "Adunya kullaha mata'." That this world, all of it in its entirety is mata'. It is benefit, and saman, and thing that a person accumulates. وَخَيْرُ مَتَاعِ دُنْيَا الْمَرْأَةُ الصَّالِحَةُ. And the best thing a man can get in this world is a pious wife. إِن نَظَرَ إِلَيْهَا سَرَّتُهُ. Then when he looks towards her, his heart feels happy. وَإِنْ أَمَرَهَا أَطَاعَتُهُ أَوْ كَمَا قَالَ عَلَيْهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ. And if he tells her, "Hey, can you just do this? Can you do this?" She listens to him. And she doesn't say, "Why don't you go do it yourself? Why don't you do this? Why don't you do that?" So this prophetic characteristics that we see in the hadith, they must be brought into our life. It's not going to be for the non-Muslims to act upon it. It is for the Muslims. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sent first to you as a Nabi. So it is for you to research the life of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How he was, how did he used to live amongst his in his family members. That as soon as salah was finished, Isha salah was finished, you would see Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He would return to his house. Us today, as soon as salah is finished, we congregate outside the masjid. After Isha's, we're talking. For no reason. But Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would go. And he would go back to his family members. Because there was no hadith. The same people that he was meeting in the masjid, he will go see them tomorrow, the month after, etc., etc. There's not going to be no change. But he goes home and he spends time with his family. Similarly, there are sometimes you find people, they leave their women and they leave their daughters at home. And they go away for so long. And when they come home, the girl is, you know, completely away from deen. It is the responsibility of the father to impart knowledge on the family. Our sisters aren't that fortunate that they can come regularly to the masjid, listen to our aima speak and can benefit in that regard. In a week, maybe they might get a bayan on the weekend. So it is important for you who are here not to take these bayans that we do as entertainment. Rather learn from them and then to go home and to impart this knowledge upon your family. Because if you have a family in your and which has been sustained upon good knowledge and good tarbiyah, then this family will go on and prosper. Because they are following the Sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And anyone who follows his way, of course they will be successful. لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. That indeed you have in the characteristics of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam a beautiful example. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give me first the ability to act upon what I have said. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give you all the ability to act upon what has been said. One final announcement that we have over here, a question and answer box. For tomorrow we have a special program for our youngsters. It's Friday night. Everyone is free. Youngsters are free anyway. They've got no school. There's summer holidays. So let's try our best to send messages around, say to the people that there's a Q&A in the masjid, come to the masjid, you can write your questions and you can put it in there, and it will be all with regards to university life, college life, things that we see, things that we are tempted by. We touched upon it a very little bit today, but inshallah we will make we will have a night tomorrow which will be very, very relaxed, very, very down to earth, and we won't be speaking about, you know, we won't be mentioning things that, oh, why are you looking at girls? Go read Istighfar 100 times. It won't be anything like this. Rather, we will have a down-to-earth conversation and talk about some palatable solutions, things that we can actually bring into our lives as opposed to just conjecture and thinking, yeah, we can do this, yes, we can do that. So we will speak for maybe 10 minutes tomorrow, and that will be it. And then we, as soon as that's, we spoke in 10 minutes introduction, we will open up the box. Rabbit will come out and... That was cheesy. We will open up the box and we will read the papers, and whatever questions come up, we will answer them inshallah as well. And we pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You also pray for me, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, give me the tawfiq to say the correct things which will benefit our youngsters, our elders as well. And we will proceed in that course as well inshallah. Jazakallahu khair wa akhbar da'ana.